In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're going to look at the readings that we had on Sunday. Very interesting readings. They pertain to things that are happening today that no one or very few people are preaching about it. In those days, all the princes of Judah, the priests and the people added in those days, all the princes practicing abominations of the nations. What was the abominations of the nations? They were offering their children to Moloch. They were offered for fidelity, or for faithfulness, or for fruitfulness, I should say. So we see that God was very upset with the princes and with the priests and with the people because they were practicing the abominations of the nations, polluting the Lord's temple, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. Well, today we do it at Planned Parenthood. People will go in today and they will have their children killed. And it will not be to Moloch, but to the God of convenience. And who preaches about it? The Pope says we preach too much about abortion. I don't think so. I don't think people do preach about abortion. There are very few people. Because people are afraid that somebody in the congregation had an abortion. You don't have to be afraid. Someone in the congregation has had an abortion. And we must preach not only the killing of our children, but the healing of those who have had abortions, that Jesus wants them healed, that he wants them delivered, and he wants them as children of God. Early and often did the Lord, the God of their fathers, send messengers, that's the prophets, to them. For he had compassion on his people. He sent the prophets out of compassion and his dwelling place, compassion for Jerusalem. But they mocked the messengers. They mocked the prophets of God. They despised his warnings. We see Jeremiah was put in a cistern. They scoffed at his prophets until the anger of the Lord against his people was so inflamed that there was no remedy. Isn't that awful? No remedy. Have we got that bad that there's no remedy? The only remedy there is to turn to the Lord and ask mercy. To turn to the Lord and give your life to Jesus. To turn to the Lord and repent of your sins. That's the only remedy that there is. Their enemies burnt the house of God, tore down the walls of Jerusalem, set all its palaces on fire, destroyed all its precious objects, and those who escaped the sword were carried captive to Babylon, where they suffered. How many years? The prophet Jeremiah said 70 years. 70 years, where they became servants of the king of Chaldeans and his sons until the kingdom of the Persians came to power. All this was to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, until the land has retrieved its lost Sabbaths. During all the time it lies waste, it shall have rest while 70 years are fulfilled. Let me tell you, they desecrated the temple, but let me tell you, we desecrate the temple of our bodies in having abortions, and not only abortions, but looking at pornography. And who preaches against this? Who tells them that there is an answer? There is an answer, and his name is Jesus Christ the Lord. There is an answer. People need to hear the answer, not only the sin, the answer that Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send the Son to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. There is an answer. His name is Jesus. And if you are far from him today, call on the mercy of Jesus. Call on the blood of Jesus. Get to confession. Oh yes, get to confession. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, 70 years, the Lord inspired King Cyrus of Persia to issue this proclamation throughout the kingdom, both by word of mouth and by writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord, the God of heaven, has given to me, and he has so charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. And whoever therefore among you belongs to any part of this people, let him go up, and may his God be with him. Isn't this interesting? When they went back to Jerusalem, they saw that the whole temple was pillaged. They were absolutely, they knew who they did not even know who they were. They were people of the law, and they found the law. And when they found the law, they said, we've not been doing this for years. And they fell on their faces. I tell you, everything turned upside down. But they come and they want to repair the temple. And they are very discouraged. But the Lord says, work, don't be discouraged. The Lord says, work, don't be discouraged. And I'm saying this to you. The church, we have people in the church that are into pornography, that are into living with their girlfriends, that are into living with their wives, that their third wife. This is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. How can we say that we are God's children if we are not living in a godly way? Now let me tell you about divorced Catholics. A divorced Catholic can receive Holy Communion if they are not remarried. If they are not remarried. Unless they get an annulment. That's the only way they can receive Holy Communion at this point. But you see, we desecrate the temple of our bodies. Oh yes, we desecrate, because where does Jesus live? He lives in the hearts of men and women. He lives in the hearts of children. That's where he lives. Does he live in your heart? Do you want him to live in your heart? Have you given him your life? You say, I don't know how. You just say, Lord, I give you my life. I give you this temple that has been desecrated like the temple in Jerusalem. I give you my life. I need you desperately today, Lord. I need you desperately today, Lord. I tell you, those that are desperate will receive what God has for them. But those that are just, you know, I go to church on Sunday. The priest was boring. You know, I go to church on... Listen, you've got to be desperate to want Jesus. You've got to be desperate to want Jesus. You've got to know that you've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You've got to know that you are not perfect, that the Lord is perfect and he wants to forgive your sins. That's why we have confession. That's why people come to confession to confess their sins so that they might be absolved from their sins. And that there is an assurance that happens when we go to confession, when we reach that sacrament. And you know what? Not many people go to confession. What does that tell you? They have no need to have forgiveness, because they think they're good enough. That is sad. That is sad. What was the responsorial psalm? Remember, they were in Babylon. By the streams of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion, when we remembered Jerusalem. On the aspens of the land, we hung up our harps. Why? Because they could not sing the Lord's song in Babylon. Our captors asked of us the lyrics of our songs. Our despoilers urged us to be joyous. Sing to us, one of the songs of Zion, one of the songs you sang of the temple. How could we sing the song of the Lord in a foreign land? Then the prophet gets very, very strong. If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand wither. May my tongue cleave to my palate. If I remember you not, if I place not Jerusalem ahead of my joy. My Lord, this is a sad psalm. Being brought into captivity. So many people are captive to sin today, and they don't even know it. They don't even know it. It takes the Holy Spirit to reveal sin. Now, I'm not saying condemn. There's no condemnation for in Christ Jesus. But the Holy Spirit shows sin. He shows sin and says, you've got to get rid of this. This is what you've got to get rid of. Because if you want to be a follower of Jesus, you've got to get rid of the sin. And, you know, there are all these things that are taking place even in the churches. We have yoga, we have Reiki, we have all these Indian false religions that people are into and they think it's right. And as I said before, nature abhors a vacuum. Since we didn't lay hands upon the sick and see them get better, that the world gives us Reiki and it is demonic. And who will tell us it is demonic? That the astrological signs are demonic. They are demonic. I told you I was born under two signs. The sign of the cross and the sign that said maternity. That's the only sign that I was born under. I was not born under any sign. My sign is Jesus Christ. And he has given his life for me when I was desperate. And you want to know what? I'm still desperate for him. I'm still desperate for him. I need him more than I need the breath that I take. What about you? In the letter to the Ephesians, God, who is rich in mercy, remember that, sinner, he is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, yes, the love that Jesus went to the cross, even when we were dead in our transgressions, dead to sin, dead in sin, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are seated in heavenly places. Where the head is, St. Augustine says, there the body is. We are in heavenly places. It goes on, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Listen, for by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from you, it is the gift of God. It is not from works, so no one may boast. For we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works. How are we saved? We are saved by grace, through faith, producing good works. But good works do not keep us in salvation. That's the way we should be living because we are Christians. We are saved through grace, by grace through faith. That's how we are saved. And that is the reality of salvation. It is the gift of God. But we are prepared. We are to do good works that have been prepared in advance by the Lord himself, and that we should live in them, the scripture says. But I am not saved because I'm preaching today. I am not saved because I'm a priest today. I am not saved because of any other reason, but by the grace of God, the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. By the grace of God. That's how we are saved. That's how we are saved. Then we had the familiar reading from John's Gospel. Jesus said to Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in the Son of Man may have eternal life. Who is the Son of Man? Jesus. For God so loved the world. God so loved you. God so loved me. God so loved us that he gave his only son. How? In crucifixion. So that he who believes in the Son might not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. It was not God's purpose to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And how is it saved? Through the preaching of the gospel, through the proclamation of the blood, through the cross and death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. That's how it is saved. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in the Son will not be condemned. Hallelujah. But whoever does not believe in the Son has already been condemned. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. It's as clear as I can make it. If you don't believe in the Son, if you don't believe in Jesus, you have been condemned. But you can stop condemnation now by saying, Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, forgive my sins. Jesus, I'm going to confession. And this is the verdict. This is the verdict. The light came into the world. His name is Jesus. But people prefer darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives in the truth comes to the light so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. We walk in the light. We walk through the light. We walk for the light. We want everything to be in the light. Have you ever seen a big boulder outside in the yard and someone moves the boulder and there are all bugs underneath? But when the light comes, they scatter. They scatter. That's what happens when the light comes from the blood of Jesus. The sins are forgiven. They scatter. They are taken by the Lord himself. This is God's word. This is the truth. This is for you. This is for me. And how many of us proclaim it? How many of us believe it? How many of us call upon the name of the Lord? How many of us? How many of us preach it as if it's urgent? It's an urgent message because it means life and death. It's not a message that, you know, we're going to talk about miracles. I believe in miracles. I've seen them. But I have to say, this message of giving your life to Jesus is an urgent message because it means life or death. And even if you're in death at any time, you can give your life to Jesus and the light will come. Oh, yes. I'm talking to sinners because, you know, the Lord came to seek and save those who were lost. I was lost, and the Lord found me. I didn't find Jesus because he wasn't lost. It was Jesus who found me. So today, give your life to the Lord. Let him fill you with light. Get those sins out of your life. Be washed clean in the blood of Jesus. I'm on the 20th chapter of Luke, verse 39. Then certain of the scribes answered and said, Master, you speak well. Yeah, see, they're trying to trip him up. And after that, they did not ask him any questions at all. And he said unto them, how do you say that the Christ is David's son? And David himself said in the book of Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. David therefore calls him Lord. How is it then he is his son? Then the audience of the people, he said unto his disciples, Beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes, and love the greetings in marketplaces, and the highest seats in synagogues, and the chief rooms at the feasts, which devour widows' houses, and shall for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. Oh, yes. He's talking to me. Beware of Father Tom. Make sure that he's living right. Make sure that he's not pocketing the money from in season and out of season. Make sure that he's preaching the gospel. Make sure that he wants to be humbled and does not want to sit in the highest seats. Make sure, make sure, make sure, make sure. And you pray for me. That's the only way I continue to walk in the light, if people pray for me. And my brother is in deep need of prayer today, deep need of healing today. If you pray for him, chapter 21, this is one of my favorite passages in the book of Luke. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a poor widow casting in two mites. You know what one mite is? 1/8 of a cent. So that's 2/8 of a cent, or 1/4 of a cent you put in. And he said, of truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all of them. Why? For all these have given out of their abundance. She has cast in all the offerings of God. That she hath cast in all the offerings of God that she had to live on. She gave it all. I see this woman as a parable of Jesus, that Jesus gives it all on the cross, that this little lady gave it all. All that she had, she gave it all, she gave it all, she gave it all. Do you give it all? Not only in money. I'm not only talking about your money. Do you give everything to Jesus? Do you give your heart to Jesus? Do you give your troubles to Jesus? Oh, it's hard sometimes, isn't it? It's hard sometimes. But you know what? We are called to do it. Why? Because he is the Lord and he is our King. Let's look at the fragments now, and let's pick up the fragments. We were in the second book of Chronicles. God was very upset with Israel. Why? Because she was offering her children to Moloch, and we offer our children at Planned Parenthood. God was very, very upset. So what does he do? He sends Jeremiah to tell them they're going to go off to Babylon, and they're going to stay there how many years? 70 years. Then we heard from the psalm, by the streams of Babylon, there we sat and wept, as we were asked to sing one of the songs of Zion. How could we sing one of those songs in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Then comes King Cyrus of Persia. And what does he do? By the grace of God, he orders that people of Jerusalem and Judea would go home and rebuild the temple. That's what he orders. And you know what? They do it. They do it. And when they get there, they're very discouraged because it's been pillaged. And they find the law, and they had no idea of the law. They were living in Babylon, and they did not even know the law. And what happens? They started to weep because they were not doing the law. And they were told, don't weep, just start again. Start again. And that's something I want to say to you. Don't only weep. Start again. Start again. You say, I've started and I always fall. Start again. It's not time to quit. It's time to start again. Are you going to start again today? Was this talk for you today? To start again. To give your life to Jesus again. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. She is the mother of Jesus, who is God. She is the mother of God, not God the Father. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We are in the middle of Lent. We need to offer our lives to Jesus as living sacrifices. We need to give ourselves to him. We need to live in good works. We need to take one step at a time. If we have transgressed, it's time to come to confession. Remember, God so loved you. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.